Blog Talk Radio.
Been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body.
Yes.
We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us.
Thank you.
And brought us the way of safety. And did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence.
Yes.
Because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified, that you might be glorified. That your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life.
Yes.
And that's what we seek, God, life. Eternal life, God. We pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to his majesty. Oh, we thank him this morning. We know that he is able. Hallelujah. He's able to do everything but fail us. He told us to cast our cares upon him. Hallelujah. For he careth for us today. Oh, glory to his majesty. We thank him this morning because it's nothing too hard for him to do. With man, it's impossible, many things. Oh, but with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. He hangs the sun in the sky, hangs the moon out at night, keep the land back from the sea. Daily, he wake us up, clothed in our right minds. We have the use and activity of our limbs. Oh, we may not have all the health that we desire. but we're yet healthy enough to be here. We're not dead. We're among the living. And we yet got another chance this morning, hallelujah, to tell him thank you. To tell him we trust him, Lord, we trust you today. God, we have faith in you. We don't have confidence in man, but we have confidence in you. And Lord, without you, we can do nothing. So we're crying out to you today to fix every situation. You know what's best for us. Lord, you know what's going on. We asking that you would heal bodies today. Father, you made these bodies. You know all about them. You know how to put everything in the right perspective. Anything in the body that's not of you, we ask today in the name of Jesus that, Father, you would rebuke it for our sake. God, we bind it up and cast it back to the pits of hell in the name of Jesus. Hey, glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, hallelujah, for doing it for us today. Mend bones. Dry up inflammation. Lord, dry up infections. Hallelujah. Put back what's supposed to be in the body. Give us the mind to do what's right to keep the body healthy. Today, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. We thank you right now. We can't do it without you. And we thank you for being on our side today to do it. Thank you, Lord, for looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. Hallelujah. Oh, we're grateful unto you on this Monday morning. We thank you for a brand new week beginning. And Lord, we ask that you would carry us all week long. We ask, Father, this morning that you would bless our family and friends, and that, God, you would give us uncommon favor. Hallelujah. Favor like we've never had before. Favor that, God, we didn't even know existed. Give us your favor today. Lord, favor that, God, our bodies are healed, our minds are healed, our hearts are healed. God, every step that we take today, Lord, we ask that you would go with us every step. For you promised never to leave us, nor forsake us. You'll be with us until the end. All your sleep now slumber. Your eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good today. And Father, we believe this morning, and we thank you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we ask all of this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful unto him, Almighty God, that have all the power. There's no higher power. We can search all over. We won't find nobody. Nobody greater than him. Nobody who love us in the way that he loves us. He loves us beyond what even our minds can imagine. Oh, yes, he does. He so loved the world, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that he sent his only begotten son. Hallelujah. That if we'll believe on him, we won't perish, but have everlasting life. Do we believe this morning? Huh? Where is our faith today? Where is our trust? What is our trust in? I can't trust my house. I can't trust my money. I can't trust my car. I can't trust a job. I have to trust God. He makes everything possible, hallelujah, that I could ever want and need. I'm grateful unto him right now. I trust him today because not my will is to be done, but his will must be done, and it's going to be done. Oh, I look at God and tell him, thank you. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth adore him. He's Almighty God today that have all power. And if we'll lift him up, let me tell you, you'll feel so much better. All you got to do is say hallelujah. All you got to do is tell him thank you and continue to praise him and watch how much better you feel. Because the enemy come but, his job is but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I know people, when they think of abundant life, they think of all this stuff, money, house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. But that abundant life is peace, is joy, is happiness, is resting assured that you're going to be all right. Everything is under control because he has it under control. Yeah, it's not this stuff and thing we're looking at. No, no, no. All our hope should be in Jesus. All our hope is to know that he is. What is he, Barbara? He's a rewarder of them that diligently, continually, always seeking him. Hallelujah. Which way should I go today, Lord? I feel like I ought to go down Roosevelt Boulevard, but Lord, if you want me to go down Wells Road, that's the way I'm going to take today. Hallelujah. He's that kind of God. Lord, I don't know about these people. They say this, this, and that, but Lord, I'm not sure. I need you to show me the way. Lord, should I do this or shouldn't I do it? And I had the patience to wait on him here. Have patience to wait on him. He's coming. He's going to give you an answer if you have the patience to wait on him. And sometimes he give an instant answer. Sometimes he'll heal right now. Sometimes it take him a couple of days because he knows what's best for us. He won't withhold no good thing from them that love him, them that he called. He saved you. Them that trust him, them that believe, them that want to please him. Yeah, those that are concerned about others and not just they self. Oh, yeah. He's not going to hold no good thing from you. No, he will not. No, he will not. But we got to gird up the loins of our hearts and minds in his word and in him. And by all means necessary, obey. Huh? Let me tell you, when you obey God, there are no blessings like you couldn't imagine. The blessings of God. Because you're not sitting around thinking about money. You're not sitting around thinking about the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. You're not sitting around wanting this and wanting that. Because if we keep our mind on him, it's him that keeps us in perfect peace. Yeah, we're chasing after the things of God. We're not chasing after the things of the world. And see, this is what messed up a lot of stuff and messing up a lot of stuff. Church folks. There is a difference in God folk and church folks. God people and church people, there's a difference. Church people go to church and do churchy things. They can even hell raise at the church. They can cuss anybody out they want to. They can drink much liquor as they want. They can party long. I'm to my church folks. They can hang out at the club all night, Saturday night and Sunday morning, go to church. These church folks. They can try and tell the pastor what to do when God done put him the shepherd over this flock. Yeah, church folks will steal from you, rob you, lie to you, cheat you. Church going folks. But the people of God, this is not what we do. If it hurt me to tell the truth, I'm going to have to tell it. If I promised you something, I got it, but I don't want to give it to you. I'm going to have to let it go. If it hurt my pocket, I'm going to have to let it go because I promised you. The people of God are concerned about lost souls, those that are not saved. We are concerned about church folks. We're praying for church folks and lifting up the name of Jesus, praying that he will draw them unto him because if he don't draw, they can't come. We praying for those who are lost out there. Many of our children, many of our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and the list goes on. Family members, close friends, folks we've known for years, they still out there in the world and of the world. So we praying for them because God wished that none should perish. And that's the difference in God people and church people. God people don't tell the pastor what to do. If we find the pastor in error, we go to him in love with the word of God and say, Pastor, did you know the word said this? Pastor, did you know this right? Because they're human too. But we're looking for higher heights and deeper depths in Almighty God who have all the power. Why is that, Barbara? There's no higher power. Let me tell you, I trust him with my all. And if he let anything happen that I don't want to happen, it's going to yet work together for my good. Why? He loved me. He loved me like nobody else could ever love me. And he's not doing this to hurt me. And guess what? He'll be right there with me to pick me up and carry me on. He'll be right there with me to see me through. He never left me. He won't forsake me. He's there all the time. I just got to gird up in faith and trust him. I got to know what his word says concerning me. His word said, I'm the head and not the tail. Now, that's what his word said. He come back and he said, I'm above and not beneath. Look at this. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm over it. I'm above and not beneath. I'm on top. If it's what I don't care what the devil does or what he show you or what he tell you, because he'll send folks to say things negative to you, but the word said, I'm the head. I'm in charge. He said, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. He didn't say the weapon would not form, but he said it won't prosper. It won't grow no bigger. It's not going to do anything to me. It's a weapon that forms. He said, I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I could do all things. I can go back to school if I want to. If I want a house, I can buy one. I'm not working with credit and money. I'm working with, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm working with the power of Almighty God. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Huh? Hey, His Majesty. If I need a car, I'm about to get one. Yeah, it's just a matter of the car dealership opening up. That's all. I can do all things because I'm not going on credit. I'm not going on money. I'm not going on the things of the earth. I'm going on Him that have all power. There's no higher power. I'm going on Him who made, hey, I'm going to run in a minute now. I'm going with Him that made the heavens and the earth.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Lord.
I heard what he said. We can't do no more for you. All we can do is release you and go home and hopefully your family are making it as comfortable as possible. We've done all we can. Well, I thank you so much because I got the head physician. He's the head doctor. He's the head specialist. He's all I need and more. So I'm going and talk to him because I've been talking to him. And I'm getting my business fixed with him so that if it's his will that I go on and take my rest, I'm going to take it. But if it be his will that I should live and not die, I'm knowing it's to declare the works of the Lord. I know he yet have work for me to do. I refuse to let the devil ball me up and tie me up and tangle me up when I got the great and living God, the true and living God that I have all power. I'd be a fool to let the devil defeat me. But you know, some people like pity parties. Some folks like all of that, drinking pitiful punch and over there eating pitiful finger sandwiches and pitiful potato chips or chips at the party. And they you see them today, how you doing? Well, you see them tomorrow, my toe hurt. You see them the next day. Well, I got a letter. What? I can get anything I want. That token hurt as much as it can. Let me tell you something. I got Almighty God who have all the power. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm looking to the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. I got all power and I'm going to sit in the earth and be worried. That's because I want to be pitiful. And I want people to come in with me with this pitiful foolishness. Uh-uh. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm happy. And guess what? He gave me this. If I keep my mind on him, he keeps me in perfect peace. Every time that thing that's disturbing me come my way, I put my mind back on him. Lord, you're able. Lord, your word said, I'm victorious. Your word said, I'm healed, I'm filled, and I have the victory. And I bind some foolishness up in a minute. I bind you up and cast you back to the pits of hell in the name of Jesus, never to return. And then I run to the Father. Father God, rebuke that devourer for my sake. He coming to devour me. He coming to steal, kill, and destroy me. Rebuke him. He doesn't sit knee pain. He doesn't sit back pain. He doesn't sit headaches. He doesn't sit sinus. He doesn't. No. We're not going with it. I trust him. I clean my own truck out Saturday. did my own dishes and everything. I don't need nobody over here with all of that. I don't mind her coming every now and then, you know, helping me out over here, get to the dust that I can't get, move the runners off the carpet and vacuum good and get all under the carpet, under the couch, and, you know, things I can't get to like that. I need you over here. Take the big plant down and wash it and shake it and take it out back, let it dry good in the sun. When it dry good, I'll bring it in and put it back, or you can bring it in and get the ladder and put it back. Huh? I'm not going to be defeated by the devil. I refuse to be defeated today because I have all power on my side. It's in me. It's according to my faith. It's according to what I believe. It's according to what I say I'm going to have. I'm working more and more on not saying negative things for negative coming. I'm focused more on things I want. I'm rich, yeah, because I want to be rich. And I'm not just talking about in the Holy Ghost. I'm not just talking about rich spiritually. I'm talking about rich financially. In the natural, I got plenty of money. Every repair I want done to my house, everything I want to change about it, I'm able to do it. That's what I'm speaking. I'm speaking healing to my body, weight loss. I'm not losing it rapidly because I don't want to put it back on fast. I'm taking my time to get it off and work on keeping it off because the way I'm eating will guarantee the weight won't come back if I remain eating this way. But if I do a diet, after I lose the weight, I'm going to want to reward myself every day. I'm going back to the old way of eating. Let me tell you something this morning. If you never heard nothing else I said, if you only paid attention to when God used me to prophesy to you, if that's all you paid attention to, this morning I want you to hear this. God is faithful. Yes, he is. He is faithful. God is faithful. Tell yourself that. Tell yourself that until you believe it, because that's who he is. That's what he is. That's what he does. He stay faithful. He don't sleep. He don't slumber. He don't forget. He's faithful. If he did that for you last year, he'll do it this year. He's got the same power. If he brought you out of darkness into this marvelous light, there's nothing he can't do. When I realized his word and he saved me, he brought me out, there's nothing he can't do. And if I limit him, I'm going to have limits. If I put restraints on him, I'm going to be restrained. Because we tell God a lot of things without moving our lips, without saying a word. Actions speak louder than any words I've ever known. I done had men to tell me, I love you. Girl, I love you. But what you said and what I see are two different things. That make me know you're lying. You don't love me. You might love what I can do. You know, you like them pies and you like them cakes. Louis, you love that macaroni and cheese, that fried chicken I used to do. But you don't love me. Because every time you're coming over, you're calling me, hey, I want to stop by there and see you for a few minutes. You cooked anything? Every time you come in that food, you love my cooking. You don't love me. God is the same way. He hear what we say, but he's looking at what we're doing today. I just want to stop complaining about what's going on in the world. Look at Louis Tupper fried chicken. Y'all can't mention food around him. He just got to say something about it. It makes him feel good. Yeah. I'm trying to be careful out here what I say and what I'm doing. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You want to build your house from the ground? Start looking at contractors. Start talking to folks. Talk to the bank. Yeah. And don't look at your credit report and all. Well, I would do it, but my credit's so bad. Now, mine was bad, but I got a house. And I don't have no high house payments for the arrogance. I can tell you that. Oh, yeah, them little small SUVs, they want a ransom for them. It's like somebody been kidnapped, and they want a ransom for the SUV.
I wanted one. He gave me one. And makes the payment on it since 2015. He don't skip a beat. But it's me. If I'm sitting around to my Lord, they gonna come and take my truck. Yeah, they gonna come at it. Because we just spoke them coming again. I said, Lord, can you go ahead and give me the payment today, Lord, because these people, they want their money and they're going to be calling me. And I really don't want them calling me, Lord. I just want you to give me the money and I'm going to go on and pay the truck note. And I'm going about my business. I don't grovel. I don't get aggressive with God and talking big. I don't do all of that. His ears are not there. And his arms are not too short to fix anything. I get a little loud and I get excited. And when the Spirit of the Lord come on me, you're going to hear me cry. Yeah, you're going to hear all of that. You might hear a tongue or two roll out my mouth. It's all right. I'm praising him, honey. I'm blessed. And I want each one of us to be blessed. If we don't remember nothing else, I want us to remember Almighty God that have all power. Jehovah, the same God that said, let there be light. The same one so loved us, he sent his only begotten son. He is faithful. He's faithful. We need patience to wait on him because he does things in a timely manner because he know what time it'll work. See, if I'd have bought that truck before 2015, it would have been a little too soon. He worked everything out for me that it'll work together for my good even up to 2022 and beyond. Glory to his majesty. You know what he's doing now. He left me over there in the project. He left me over there in Hilltop for a while. I stayed over there. I think it was 7 years, something like that. He left me over there and took 7 years to get the work completed. Once the work was completed, my number was up, time to go. And guess what, y'all? I was going to try to sneak and stay at least a couple of more months. Oh, but I was. Mabel would have stayed a whole nother year. He said, no, ma'am, the season is up. It's time to go. Let me tell you this. And we have a wonderful speaker today. Dr. F. Bruce Williams. Oh, he's an excellent speaker. But listen. I was going to stay a little longer. I remember I was in Birmingham. Look, I went to get my driver's license and they arrested me. Say they had a warrant for me in Jacksonville, Florida. Well, I went on to jail with them and everything. And I got in there and I started ministering to the people because now I'm saved now. I'm converted and all of that. And I'm in there and witnessing, and I think my sixth day, they called me to go to court. It was on a Wednesday. But that morning, I had went to the window of the jail looking out over I-65, and I said, Lord, I said, they're getting ready to have Bible study tonight. I said, Lord, I don't want to miss Bible study. I said, Lord, I want to go. I want to go to Bible study. That's all I said, and went on about my business. They called me that same day. Well, my niece came to see me and my friend, and they brought me underwear and money, and I'm like, thank y'all. Like, I'm going to be there for a minute. I went on back with my little gifts, you know, knowing I had my little gifts. They're going to bring my underwear, put the money on my books. And I sat on the steps, and this girl, she could braid hair real good. I said, hey, can I get you to braid my hair? She said, you teach me the Bible, I'll braid your hair. Hey, C.R., happy Valentine's. I meant to say that to everybody, but I got caught up. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Single, married, couples, whatever this morning. For God is love. Hallelujah. Look at 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 8 down there here. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. So look, she said, I'll braid to have you teach me the Bible. I said, okay, that was up my alley. Y'all got to know that. I like to talk about the goodness of it. I got my Bible and went sat on the steps, and me and her started. She got half of my hair braided now. And the rest of, you know, the middle part was sticking up like I had a mohawk. They called my name. I went to the door. They said, you go to court this morning. And I said, okay. So I went in there and freshened up right quick, you know, and went on with them. That was the bailiff at the end of the hall waiting for the female officer to walk me down to him. I got down there to him. He said, you ready? I said, yeah. We started walking. He said, you're from Florida? I said, yeah. He said, I heard it's a beautiful place. I said, it is. Got beautiful water. He said, I've never been there. But listen to this now. When I looked at the bailiff, he looked so clean. At the corner of my eye, I keep looking. What kind of bailiff is this looking like that? But I kept walking. We kept talking. I get to the courtroom, and they seat me. And behind me is a young man, and he crying. And I was not trying to pay him no attention because, you know, men, they say men don't cry. So I knew it had to be something deep, as they say, something heavy, you know, something real bad. So the Lord said, tell him, you know what I told him, and he know what he promised me. And he didn't do it. But tell him, if he promised me he going to do it this time and do it, I'm setting him free. But tell him, make sure you make him understand, if he don't do it, he's going to come back with way more than this right here. I turned around. I said, young man, I said, God told me to tell you this. You know what you promised him. You know what he told you, and you didn't do it. He said, yeah, I know it. I know it. I told him I wasn't going to do it no more, and I did it. Yeah, I did it, but if he let me go today, I ain't going to never do that no more. I'm going to do what he say. I said, okay. I turned him back around, you know, and sit in my seat. Well, they called my name, and the judge that I was supposed to have that day, he didn't show up. Another judge showed up. And this was a whole different kind of judge if you ever been in a courtroom. And I'm looking because it's just strange in here. I done been to court plenty times. And I'm looking because this is so strange. I done been to prison, so I had to go to court to get this. I'm looking. The judge said, at the time I was Mac, he said, Miss Mac, we don't have no charges on you. We don't have nothing for you. It's Florida. And if they don't come and get you within 21 days, we have to let you go. I said, okay, but we're waiting to see what Florida is going to do. Well, the same bailiff, he escorted me out the courtroom after the judge said what he said. I told him, thank you, sir. And we were walking down the hall. Well, on down the hall further before we got to them was a whole line of men, and they was all chained together. And as I'm getting close, I'm looking, and when I got right almost to the first one, the Lord said, stop and tell him da-da-da-da-da. I didn't even, if I'm honest, I didn't remember the bailiff. I didn't even consider him, if I'm honest this morning. I turned to the first man, and I told him what God told me to tell him. I went on down the line. I'm telling you, there had to be, I know, at least 20 men. And the bailiff just stood back and let God have his way. When I got to the last man and I finished, he said, you ready? I said, yeah, I'm ready to go. I didn't even remember the capacity that I was in. I went on. I got on back to the cell. They said, what happened? What happened? I told them, I said, well, they say Florida coming at me if they want me. Alabama don't have nothing on him, and he would have turned me loose today, but he got to see what Florida going to do. Oh, okay. It take him 21 days. I said, yeah, that's what they told me. I go back on the step with my Bible with the girl, and more people started coming as I'm sharing out the word with her, and she back braided my hair. Well, she didn't get but to that one braid in the middle like that, stick up like a mohawk. He said, Mac, pack it up. They went to screaming and yelling in there. I said, what's going on? I said, they called my name. They said, yeah. I said, well, what's going on? They said, you finna go. They letting you out of here. I said, oh, no, I'm not going nowhere. Listen. I said, don't y'all worry about it. I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to stay right here. Did I not pray that morning looking out the window over I-65, Interstate 65, and ask God to let me go to Bible study that night? Isn't that what I told you? I told him. They said, pack it up, let's go. There was a young lady that Sunday I went to church with. I never forget her. Her name was Yolanda. When I tell you this woman was full of the Holy Ghost, you could hear it. You could hear the anointing in her voice, but you got to have that ear. And I wanted to talk to her, but in church we couldn't talk and she was in a different dorm. So when they said, pack it up, and the officer came and said, oh, no, you got to go, ma'am. You can't stay in here. You got to go. They said, you got to get out. Well, I knew I couldn't fight with the officer. I had to get up out of people's jail. So I went on with her. She took me down there to get my clothes and took me to a cell with Yolanda. Because Yolanda was in charge of releasing the clothes back to the people. So we got a chance to talk. She gave me her information. I gave her my address and everything. I went on. And when I got to the releasing station, they gave me my purse and all my stuff. My niece and my friend had brought me that day, gave me the money. My hair sticking up on my head on one side. I'm looking crazy. So there was an officer there. And I said, sir, which way I go? He said, you see straight down that hall? You see that window where you see the light? I said, yeah. He said, that's the door. Just push that door. It's going to let you out. I said, okay. Well, when I pushed the door, it took me straight to the sidewalk on the streets. Downtown Birmingham, Alabama. I'm looking crazy. Well, I'm walking, and I'm going to catch a bus and go on home. But the Lord let me know this. You was not going to be permitted inside the jail. When you went to the jail, you would have been able to visit somebody if you knew somebody in jail. But you wouldn't have been able to minister one-on-one. You wouldn't have been able to minister to a group in the cell locked up for whatever crime they were charged with. I went on home. I called my niece. I said, hey. I said, I'm home. She said, what? I said, yeah, I'm home. I'm at my house. I'll be on over there. I walked across over there and I saw my friend Faye. I said, hey. She said, God. I said, yeah, I'm home. Come on to the house. And I went on home. My niece come, she come, we laughed and talked. I went on about my business. My older son, Lonnie, had come and got the children. I called him, I said, hey, look here, can you bring my kids home? I'm home. He said, well, I can't do it today, but I'm going to bring them, Mama. I said, all right. But when we think we going to do what we want to do, God will show us. I don't care what you're talking about. My will is going to be done. Yeah, I wasn't going to leave here, Doc. I wasn't going to leave them people jail. I was going to stay in there. He had opened the door for me to go, and that's what had to happen. I had to leave. I don't have all power. He does. And this morning, if we'll put our trust in him, and remember, he is safe. Another thing, he don't always do it the way that we want it done. Sometimes we want it to come through the pastor. He won't use the pastor. He'll use a visitor visiting your church to bless you. Sometimes we go online looking for this and that through this and them. And guess what? That's not who God will use. God will use a stranger, someone you don't even know. But it will bless you and give you the answer to what you want or give you what you are in need of. But if we're going to put restraints on him, if we're going to fit him in the corner in a box, if we're going to doubt him, we can't get nothing. You're going to get what you believe. Whatever you believe you're going to have, that's what you're going to have. I'm believing I'm going to have $500 million Matter of fact, Louis, I was riding down the street the other day and I told the Lord this about it. I was talking to him about it. And I said, Lord, I want to buy old Louis and Sherry a little farm. And I want to hire some, as many employees as they need to do what they want done and how they want it done. I said, Lord, I won't tell Dot exactly what it is. I said, but Lord, I want to do this and that for Dot. I told the Lord what I wanted to do for Jerry and for months. He knows the very intent of our heart. And I believe it's coming to pass before we pass. Mm-hmm. Before we pass on to our rest. Because we're not going to die. We're just going to sleep and rest. Because we need it. Until you call our name. Yeah. Or when the trumpet sound, we're going to get up out the ground. Don't worry about it. Because no grave will be able to hold us during that day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to share all of that this morning because he is faithful. Stop believing in what you're singing. Don't believe that. You can have 35 cents in your checking account at 12 o'clock. 12:05, you could have $1 million in your checking account. God is that kind of God. The earth is his. The fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Stop doubting and stop looking at your situation. Come out well. I guess I can't do it. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And what I mean by that, you can believe in and trust him because he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him in prayer for what you want, for what you feel you need. Because he's giving you what you need, but see, it's some desires of our heart. It's some things we want. I want to be closer to him. I really want to be like Jesus. I really don't want any flaws in me. I want the spots and wrinkles. I'm telling you the truth this morning. I want them ironed out of me. I want God to clean them out of me. I want to be like Jesus. He walked this earth and never sinned. And I want to be that way with him. Nonetheless, he's able to use me for anything he want to use me for. But I don't want to just be used by God. I want to really belong to him. And he belonged to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we gird up the loins of our hearts and mind this morning. We gird up in his word to obey. We gird up to walk in the spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. We're keeping our mind on him. He's keeping us in perfect peace. We're looking to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help, it comes from the Lord. He made the heaven and the earth. Without him, we can do nothing. He gave us an open, great, big invitation. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Come unto me, all that are burdened and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But some of us, these church folks, we can't do it because we let the cares of the world get us down. My grandbaby is sick, and she has special needs. She has Down syndrome. She got COVID. And she wasn't breathing properly and some other things, and now they're telling the mom her blood pressure keep dropping. And looky here, whose report are you going to believe today, Barbara? I believe the report of the Lord. His report says she's healed, she's healed, and I have the victory. And if the Lord allow her to go on out of this world, guess what? I yet tell him thank you because he's yet God. And if he send her on out of here, he's sparing me yet from something later on. Yeah, I believe God today. I prayed the prayer of faith and I let go. A mom was on the phone this morning and I prayed when Pastor Hinton prayed, I prayed. Prayed for healing because I wanted her to hear. Yeah. I'm telling you, we got to stop being church folks. And what I mean by that, too, is this. We got to stop doing what we think, you know, you do for church. You know, to be churchy. And Brother Lance used to say, I feel a little churchy this morning. Yeah. We got to stop being churchy. And we got to be godly. For real. Godly men and women. Let nothing separate us from his love. Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. The lust and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfaithful. Because we let these things that we're looking at get us down. We let the situations that's going on with us get us down. I can't let it get me down, not when I got a Savior who made the heavens and the earth. He's Almighty God. He's got all power. That's my girl right there. My granddaughter. Grandmama. Ooh, she tickled me so. And when she saw me the other day, her face lit up. But I think her mama moved the camera too quick. She wanted to talk to me and wanted me to talk to her a little bit longer. And we're going to do that today. But look. When she was real small, she used to say, I went down there to keep her. The other grandmama kept her twin brother. And I went to Cassim and kept her. We wake up in the morning. She loved eating. Grandmama. I said, what? I want to go to Donald's. McDonald's. I said, you want to go to Donald's? Yeah. I said, well, come on, let me get your dress, washed up and get your dress. And we'll go to McDonald's. Okay, Grandmama. I get a dress, and me and her. She rides shotgun in the front seat, and we go to McDonald's. I said, what you want? She knew that menu like I knew the back of my hand. Yeah. And when I go down there, she, Grandmama, I want to talk. I said, well, come on, let's sit in the car and talk. Yeah, Grandmama, I'm not going to school. I'm out of school. I said, yes, ma'am. Grandmama, I said, well, I'll be over to my other grandmama. She just telling me all her little business, you know, because she want me to know. I said, Khalilah, I'm going to give you some money for Christmas. How much? I said, ooh, is this the Down syndrome baby asking me how much money? Yeah. Yeah. And I could even see myself in this little girl. Carry a purse everywhere she go. I said, look at Barbara. Yeah. So God is faithful. And there's no need for me to be tried and worried and going through, oh, blood pressure keeps going down. She can't have breathe. No, I gave it to the Lord, and I'm going to leave it there. I want to call and encourage her and let her see me and I see her and that kind of thing. Let her know Grandmama love her and I'm right here with you if you need me and go on. Yeah. But the pity party, I can't have all of that. I put them intercessors on it. Yeah, I call my praying daughter. I told her about it. Yeah, and I'm good. I'm good. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Yeah, and he's looking for some faithful people. Yes, he is. Listen. This morning, we have Dr. F. Bruce Williams. And I like the way this man bring the word. And his message this morning is this. Get out of the boat. Get out the boat. We remember the message with Peter and Jesus walking on the water. And I know Peter was fearful. And, oh, Lord, is that you? If that you, Lord, forbid me to come, Jesus said, come. Come on, Peter. Yeah. So if Peter can walk on water, if we have faith and trust in God, you're going to get that house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. If that's what you want, you want a husband, you're going to get one of those. You want a wife, you're going to get, you want children, huh? You want a brand new car. I don't care what kind of car it is. God is able. If I got a luxury, I told you, it would be a Rolls Royce. If I really wanted a Rolls Royce, God would give it. But I'm not sitting around with my mind just on a Rolls Royce. Lord, I want the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Lord, I want hardwood floors. I want to paint my house. Lord, I want the Ponics. And I'm not sitting around with that on my mind. When folks dying and folks lost, there's much more important things for me than that. Yeah. So this is what we need to keep our hearts and mind on him and in his word. Not on his word, but get in there. walk according to his word. Speak it out your mouth. I shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm healed, I'm filled, and I have the victory. Lord, get the spots and wrinkles out of me, that I'm your church that you're coming back looking for. Help me to be like Jesus. Let this mind be in me, Father, that was also in your son, Jesus Christ. Let me think like Jesus. When people upset me, let me think like he did. Don't let me react to foolishness. Help me to take my eyes off the news, off the world. Help me to stop listening to foolishness and remember what your word said. But if we don't get in the word, we won't know what it said. We won't know what it says. It's not just some black and white or red letters on some white paper. It's a lie. And what God sent it out to do, that's what it's going to do. He sent his word, and his word healed. And his word will heal us all today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So listen, let's take a listen to Dr. F. Bruce Williams. Get out of the boat. Yes, sir.
Tonight I want to invite your attention to the book of Matthew, very familiar passage of scripture, very familiar story in the book of Matthew, and we want to lift it up and see what the Spirit has to say to the church tonight. Matthew chapter 14, and I want to lift up another lengthy passage of scripture, but I do want to read it in its entirety. It will serve as the context for the preaching. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. And reading through verse 32. Amen. Familiar passage. And I want to read from the New King James Version, beginning with verse 22. If you found it, say amen. Beginning with verse 22, it reads like this. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent the multitude away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Verse 29, so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, then he walked on the water. Amen. You may be seated. With the help of the Holy Spirit in your prayers, I want to preach from the simple subject, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Amen. Help me preach this. Look at your neighbor. If you ain't scared, look at him. And tell him, get out of the boat. Just in case you're scared, you can blame it on me. Look at your other neighbor and say, "Pastor said." Get out of the boat.
Amen.
Amen. And I would that you would flank me with your prayers. get out of the boat. The disciples had the precious privilege and the awesome opportunity of having Jesus as their mentor. For 3.5 years, wherever he went, they went. Wherever he ate, they ate. Wherever he slept, they slept. For 3.5 years, he was their life coach. Imagine having the man Jesus as your life coach. I mean, Jesus, the one who is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus, the most perfect man that ever lived. Jesus, who said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus, who's that mysterious mixture of dust and divinity, time and eternity, this world and the world to come. Jesus, the language of eternity, translated into the words of time. Imagine having Jesus, the one who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Imagine having him for 3.5 years as your mentor, as your life coach. Jesus taught his disciples diligently. And one of the ways in which Jesus would teach his disciples is he would choose a kind of safe classroom type setting in which to teach them. There would be times when they would sit, and he would sit and he would teach them, like the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Other times when Jesus taught them, it was not in a carefully crafted, safe classroom type setting, because Jesus understood that some lessons are not taught, they're caught. And so Jesus takes him out of the safety and predictability of a classroom-type setting, and in the nip-and-tuck pace of life, Jesus would spontaneously and creatively choose teachable moments in order to teach them eternal truth. Whether the moments were calm or even in a crisis, Jesus had a sense of himself in such a way that even in times of trouble, he taught his disciples truth. And Jesus taught them because he wanted them to know how to live the abundant life. And when I say the abundant life, I don't necessarily mean what you hear prosperity preachers preach. When I talk about the abundant life, I'm talking about a life of poise, peace, and power. Jesus wanted to teach them how to live a life of victory even in the face of vicissitudes, triumph in the midst of trouble, how to remain poised when all hell is breaking loose. And Jesus wanted to do that because he wanted to prepare them to carry out the mission that he would bequeath to them after he had conquered sin, death, and the grave. And in the words of J.C. Perkins, leap from the craggy cloud, shrouded cleft of Olivet, catch a cloud, and work his wondrous way back to heaven. Jesus wanted them to be prepared to carry out the mission that he was mandated to prescribe to his disciples by his Father. So Jesus was with them for 3.5 years so that he could teach them to carry out his mission. And in our text today, what we have, I believe, is another example, or if you will, an illustration, an incident or scenario in Jesus' life and ministry with his disciples where Jesus takes a moment that happens to be at least in the minds and lives of the disciples, a crisis moment. But in that crisis, he takes the time to teach them how they too can stay calm in the midst of crisis and learn how to walk above their circumstances and learn how to have victory even in the face of the wind. It happened on an occasion when Jesus had fed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. The Bible says that after he had fed them miraculously by taking it, blessing it, breaking it, and passing it, the Bible says that they were so caught up in messianic fervor that they wanted to make him a king. But this was kind of premature and kind of superficial. Jesus didn't want to be the kind of king they wanted him to be. they wanted him to be king because he had fed them with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and Jesus refused to be simply a stomach king. He did not want to simply be a king that promises you chicken in every pot and bread in every cupboard, because there's more to him than that. And believe it or not, there are people who still want Jesus to be a stomach king. They want what Jesus can give, but they don't want Jesus. Come on, they want the blessings without the blesser, and they'll follow him as long as he promises to give them what their souls desire. And so he said, no, we can't let this happen. And so watch, the text begins by saying, and Jesus made his disciples get in the ship. King James says he constrained them to get in the ship. Sometimes you read scripture so fast, you miss so much. You have to slow down because there's something right there. Jesus, the Bible says he constrains them to get in the ship. He made them get in the ship. Why would Jesus have to make his disciples get in the ship? Well, apparently they had got caught up in the messianic fervor of the crowd. They had become intoxicated by what the crowd wanted. Talking about his disciples, his church. And so Jesus had to pull them away from the crowd and make them get in the ship. Because what you have here is a portrait of the church being influenced by the crowd rather than the crowd being influenced by the church. And what the church has to be ever mindful of, that we will be in the world but not of the world. And the great challenge of the church is to have contact without contamination. To infiltrate and influence without being infected. To touch without being tarnished. To be voices and not echoes. Headlights and not taillights. Leaders and not followers. Originals and not copies. So y'all ain't acting right, he said. We had to make them get in the ship. But that surprised you, because you know there are times in your own life. Come on, when Jesus has to make you. Oh, you don't like this tonight, do you? He has to make you do the right thing. I know you say you love him and you got a big coffee table Bible and a long, big, heavy cross, and you speak in tongues every other syllable. But there are some times when he has to make you, don't he? Get in the boat. The Bible says he constrained them to get in the ship. And they got in the ship and began to sail across the Sea of Galilee. But this time, Jesus, unlike the previous time, did not get in the ship with them. You remember the last time they were in the ship, Jesus was in the ship with them. And they got caught in a storm and called his care into question. Because while they were in the ship panicking, bailing out the water while the storm tossed them like a nautical toy, Jesus was below fast asleep. And somebody said, don't you care that we perish? Imagination suggests Jesus said, wait a minute, you can question me about a lot of stuff, but don't question whether I care about you. Can't you see him getting up and wiping the sleep out of his eyes and putting a cloak over his shoulder? Can't you see him taking his time in the midst of the storm? Because see, when you know who you are, and when you know what you can do, and when you know you got all power in your hand, you ain't got to work fast in nervous insecurity. Jesus stepped out on the bow of a ship and looked up and saw zigzag fingers of lightning playing their nimble game of hide and seek across the darkened sky. He heard the thunder roll like a million chaplains rumbling on a distant battlefield. He stood like a man, but he spoke like a God. King James says, he said, peace be still, but that's not as forceful as the original language. The original language is be muzzled, contemporary translation. Shut up! And when Jesus spoke, the wind ceased its howling. And Matt Carter said, God reached down from heaven with his hand and smoothed the wrinkles out of a frowning sea. That was when Jesus was with them. But this time, Jesus sends them, and he is not physically with them. And I believe that he sends them without his physical presence because he's trying to train them how to trust him even when they can't see him. And so he sends them in the ship, and they go across. And the Bible says while they're in the ship, Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray. I wish I had time to talk about the prayer life of Jesus, because we always brag about his power, but we don't talk very much about the prerequisite for his power. We talk about what he was able to do, but we don't talk about why he was able to do what he did. The reason why he has so much power on his feet is because he spent sufficient time on his knees. Preach, Pastor Williams. And that's the secret to many of us, all of us indeed. If Jesus had to pray, this must not be on. If Jesus had to pray, you and I are going to have to pray. Jesus has sense enough to know that you're not too busy to pray. You're too busy not to pray. If ever time you need to pray now. And so Jesus went up into the mountain and he was there praying. The Bible says that while he was praying, the disciples got caught in the grips of a terrible storm. And it would not have been unusual for that to happen, because if you know anything about the Sea of Galilee, it was not unusual for it to be calm and placid one moment, and then you can be caught in the storm the next moment, because it sits down in a basin surrounded by mountains on certain sides. When the wind blows, it would go in between the mountains, and the mountain sides would cause it to become a funnel. And one moment down in the basin, the Sea of Galilee would be calm, and then all of a sudden the wind would hit it and they would be in the grips of a terrible storm, often like life. Because one moment things can be going just fine. Don't make me work so hard. And the next moment you could be caught in the grips of a storm. Come on, you could be feeling just fine. Go to the doctor for a regular checkup, but then he finds a spot on your lung or a lump on your breast. You're in the midst of a storm. You go to sleep at night and everything's fine. All of a sudden you get a call that your son has been arrested or your daughter is pregnant and she's only 13. You're in the grips of a storm. Your marriage is going just fine like anybody else's, but you come home and find a Dear Jane or a Dear John letter. You in the midst of a storm. You got a nice job, been there for 15, 20, 30 years, and you know you're going to retire there, but today you go to work, they give you a pink slip on the job. You in the midst of a storm. Things can be fine one moment, and then the next moment, you could be caught in the grips of the storm. And that's what happened to the disciples. They were rowing, and all of a sudden, a storm came. And they started rowing, trying their best to navigate this storm. Watch this. And when you read, I believe it's Mark, who says that by that time, watch, while they are straining in the middle of a storm, the Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus had come down out of the mountain, watch, and the Bible says he stood and watched them there. See, I told you, you read too fast. Jesus, we like the part when he walks on the water, but the text says, and Mark says, that while they're straining, before he comes to them, he stands and watches them there. First time I read that text and saw that detail, I said, Jesus ought to be ashamed of himself. Come on, all that power he has, and he could see the fellas out there straining in the storm, and with all of that power, he got the nerve to watch. Come on, you know, if you would be honest with yourself, that there are times in your life when you were in the middle of a storm, and you're wondering where Jesus is. Come on, he's not where you want him to be. Can I tell you where he is? In fact, the text implies not that he just sees them, not just he's watching them watch, but he's watching over them. That's what the implication of the text is. And sometimes he doesn't come when you want him to come. But when he comes, he'll be on time. Sometimes he takes his time to come, because while you're in the storm, he wants you to learn some things in the storm that you wouldn't learn if you weren't in a storm. So he wants to see how well you do. So he's watching over you. So you'll learn how to navigate through storm. Learn how to handle storm. So he watches you there. But he's watching over you. Yeah. But you know, the Bible says that Jesus said that God won't put on you. You know the text. He won't put on you any more than you can bear. So that gives you a clue as to how long he'll watch you. Somebody said, he'll watch you until it becomes too much for you. Can I illustrate what I mean? It's like a grandmother watching the kids play as opposed to a new mother. Ain't never had kids before. She watching the kids.
You know, when a mother just has a child, she don't have a lot of experience. So when she sits on the porch watching the kids, if their kids playing together and one of them falls, she jumps up and says, "You all right? Is your skin okay? Are you all right?" Well, if they start fighting, she goes, "Oh, no, you got to love one another. You got to." Anything that goes wrong, she jumps off the porch to go see about it, but not granny. No, not grandma. She's sitting on the porch, knitting or reading a book, glasses half down on her nose, and she just watching, and if the baby falls, she don't do anything. She just look down and see what baby gonna do. The children start fighting, she don't jump right in. She just look down, see how they gonna handle it. They're riding the bike and have a little wreck, she doesn't just jump down. She waits to see what baby gonna do. The only time granny comes off the porch is when the children get into something that's over their heads. When it gets like that, here comes granny. She's coming out the porch. And that's exactly what happens in the text. As soon as it gets too much for them, guess what? Jesus comes walking on the water. Look at your neighbor and tell him, "Here he comes." Somebody drove all the way here tonight just to hear that, because you've been out there straining and wondering when he's going to show up. You say, "I'm about to go down for the count. God sent me here like a FedEx man to drop a package off to tell somebody, here he comes." Help is on the way. Now, I think it's instructive as to see not only that he comes, that's good news, but I think it's important that you notice how he comes. The disciples are out there straining in the storm, in the ship, in the sea, and all of a sudden the Bible says Jesus comes, and he comes walking. Now, he's a carpenter, but he doesn't build a bridge. He doesn't make a boat right quick and sail out to them. No, no. Jesus comes walking on the water. Now, don't you miss this, because this is really instructive for anybody who's in a storm. This is what you need to know about Jesus. Jesus comes walking on the water. You're not getting it. The disciples are out in the ship to see the storm on the water, and they're struggling and straining, and they're in a boat, and Jesus comes walking on the water. What shouts me is that what the fellas are struggling with, Jesus has under his feet. What I'm trying to tell you is, just because it's hard for you, too much for you, whatever's got you upset and panicking, please know that it's always under his feet. I hope I can make it through this sermon, y'all. I feel like running already. Just because you can't handle it doesn't mean he can't handle it. Always under his feet. Look at him. Look at him come walking. Comes walking on the water. Can I take my time tonight, Reverend? He comes walking on the water, and the Bible says as he walks towards them, here comes help. They look through the mist, and here comes help, but they see help as harm. Even though it's help, they think the help is harm. And the reason why they think the help is harm is because they're looking through the lenses of fear. Because whatever your disposition is at the time you look, your disposition can determine your outlook. Because your disposition will determine whether you have an uplook or a downlook. And your uplook or downlook determines your outlook. Two men peered through prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. Both of them were in jail, both behind bars. But one was a mud watcher. The other was a stargazer. And what's in you determines where you end up looking, and your up or down look determines your outlook. And they were looking through lenses of fear, and so they saw help as harm. And is there anybody in here who has ever been walking with the Lord long enough to know that there are certain things that start in your life that look like they were harmful, but after they came and passed by and you look back on them, you realize that what the enemy meant for evil. I feel like preaching. He used for good. You thought it was harm, but it wasn't what you thought it was. The Bible says Jesus was coming, and he was coming for help. And the Bible says that they said, "It's a ghost." And Jesus said, "Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid." Cheer up. It is I. I am. That's what he's saying. Ergo imi. I am. I like that. They're afraid. It's a ghost. He says, I am. Okay, y'all ain't read your Bible. You remember? You remember when Moses asked God, whom shall I say sent me? He said, you tell them. In fact, tell them that my first name is the same as my last name. I am that I am. Come on. And when you understand what I am means, it means I am or I will be whatever you need me to be. Come on. And if there's one thing you need to hear, God, when you're in trouble, is to hear Jesus say, don't worry. Whatever you need, y'all don't know where to shout. Whatever you need, I am that I am. And the Bible says, the Bible says that when Jesus identifies himself, Peter, in an effort to be clear, he said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come to thee on the water. And Jesus says, come. I like that. And the Bible says that Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water. Of course, he hears the wind howling, the waves dashing at his feet, but he's still focused and fixed on Jesus. So he stays above the situation. But then after a while, he started paying attention to what was going on around his feet, what was howling in his ears, took his eyes off Jesus and started to sink. The Bible says he cried out for help. Jesus reached down, grabbed him, picked him up, and went back to the boat, and the storm ceased. Now, that's the story, but can I just rewind the tape, show you some stuff I think I see, because the title of the sermon is Get Out of the Boat. And I want you to see something in the text. When I first saw it and the Holy Spirit showed it to me, I had to throw down my Bible and do a holy dance. Because, see, the text says that Jesus came walking on the water. Peter said, bid me come. He said, come. And Peter got out and was walking on the water. Now, that shouted me. Now, I was happy, but I didn't shout when I saw Jesus walk. Because, after all, that's Jesus. And if anybody can walk on the water, the one who created it ought to be able to walk on the water. Jesus walking above the circumstances and situations, even in the middle of a storm. That's good news. But that made me happy. But I'm going to tell you where I really shouted. It's not when I saw Jesus walk. I shouted when I saw Peter walk. Peter, y'all, I'm talking about old cussing Peter. I'm talking about the one who leaps before he looks and talks before he thinks. I'm talking about the one with the knife under his robe. Oh, knife carrying, cussing Peter. Peter, with all these issues, is walking on the water. And I had to shout because I know Jesus can walk on water. But when I saw Peter walk, I said, well, shoot, if Peter can walk, maybe Jesus will teach me how to walk on water.
All right.
So can I talk about that just a minute, then I'm going to leave you all alone. Preach, Holy Ghost. So I saw Peter. I said, oh, man, I got to keep reading. I thought I knew the story. That's why you got to be careful about reading a text like you already know it. Don't you know the Bible doesn't have a bottom to it? No matter how deep you dig, you can never get it all. Preach, Pastor Wim. And I know some of y'all, as soon as I read the text, you tuned me out and turned me off because you already know the story. But when the Holy Ghost blows on something, he'll give you something, a new perspective that you've never seen before. Can I work the text a little bit? Watch the text. The text says that he said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come to thee. And Jesus said, come. Peter gets out, walks on the water. I got issues like Peter. You got issues like Peter. But did you not know? Watch. We're really impressed with the fact that Peter walked on the water. But do you not know that the only difference between Peter and most of us is that he got out of the boat? Oh, Lord Jesus. And what I'm trying to tell you is God wants to do some great things with your life. And the only thing that stands between you and the great things that God wants to do is you have got to get.
Yes, sir.
Get out. Get out. Look at your neighbor. Look at him. Tell him, get out. Get out. Get out. You're so jealous watching what God is doing in other people's lives. Well, if you want to do what they do, then you've got to do what they did. You've got to get out of the boat. So what does it take? What does it take? What does it take? Why do people stay in the boat? What does it take to get out of the boat? Well, if you're going to get out of the boat, one of the things you've got to be willing to do is you've got to be willing to do something unconventional, something untraditional. You know, one of the reasons why God can't do great things with our lives is we're so busy trying to be like other people instead of being like Jesus. That's why Peter got out, because Peter said, if it's you, let me come do what you're doing. Preach, Pastor Williams. And if you really want to walk on the water, you've got to be willing to do something unconventional. The problem with Christians and churches is that we are still stuck on the things that we're used to doing. We want God to do things great, but we keep on doing the same old thing. Preach, Pastor. But you've got to be willing to try something that you've never tried before so you can see something that you've never seen before and do something that you've never accomplished before. We're so stuck in traditions and convenient little pat presuppositions that we've got God in that we're not open to a fresh wind of the Spirit. God wants to do something new in your life. Preach, Pastor Williams. He wants to do something unconventional. Because, see, in these days, it's going to take something unconventional to reach this generation. The songwriter said to serve this present age, which means that you cannot use 1950s methods to reach 2013 people. Come on, you know what we got to learn? We've got to learn that when it comes to the church, the message never changes, but the methods have to change. In order to be effective, you have to have what I call methodological elasticity. You've got to have methods elastic enough to stretch to meet the contours of the present generation. And the reason why some churches can't grow the way God wants them to grow is because we are so busy doing what we like. So busy doing ministry that ministers to us that we're not thinking about the ministry that's effective to the people we're trying to reach. As long as they sing the songs I like the way I like them, I'm fine. As long as they have church the way I want to have, I'm fine. But don't let them change nothing to try to make room for somebody who isn't already here.
All right.
Can I preach like this here? Watch this. It reminds me. Two things it reminds me of. One thing it reminds me of, those four friends who brought that man on the pallet, that lame man. Jesus was at a house in Capernaum trying to hide out, but the word leaked out that he was there, and whenever people found out Jesus was there, they would come from everywhere, and the Bible says they filled up the house, and then when there was no room in the house, they surrounded the house. And these four friends had a lame friend on a pallet who couldn't get there. But each one of them grabbed a corner. I wish I had time to talk about that. Each one of them grabbed a corner, and they went over hills and down mountains and through narrow alleys trying to get this man to see Jesus. The Bible says they got there, and by the time they got there, the Bible says they wanted to get him in the house, but they couldn't get him, King James says, for the press. Or they couldn't get him because of the crowd. Watch, they were trying to get the man in to see Jesus, but they couldn't get him in to see Jesus because of the crowd. You're not getting it because I'm not saying it right. They were trying to get the man in to see Jesus, but the reason why they couldn't get him in to see Jesus is because of the people who were already there. And you know, sometimes we can't get folk in to see Jesus. The problem isn't the folk we're trying to get in. It's some of the people who are already here. Look, it may be my last time. I already got a church, but I'm going to tell you the truth while I'm here. But you know what got to happen? We've got to be unconventional like the four men who brought the lame man. Because the text says when they couldn't get him through the door, when they couldn't get him through the usual way, when they couldn't get him through the conventional way, when they couldn't get him through the traditional way, they didn't say, well, we did the best we could. You're going to have to fend for yourself. But the Bible says they climbed up on the roof and tore a hole in another man's roof. And sometimes you got to tear the roof off. Hey, y'all got to excuse me. I told you I passed in the hood. You got to tear the roof off. God save us from people who are addicted to the same old thing. God is too big for you to stuck in the routine and the regular. God wants to do something new. So in order to get out of the boat, you've got to be willing to do something untraditional. Then, I ain't going to keep you long. In order to get out of the boat, you have got to be willing to be liberated from the opinions of your peers. Come on. Let me just tune in on the frequency of creativity. Look, watch. Imagination suggests something that when the disciples are in the ship, Peter says, bid me come to thee on the water. Now, the Bible doesn't say, but I know people. I've been pastoring too long. And I bet you my next paycheck that if they were like us, as soon as Peter said, oh, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you on the water. There were some people among the 11 in the boat saying, oh, here he go again. I'm so tired of Peter. Always trying to do something nobody else has ever done before. Always trying to try something nobody else tried before. Always pushing us in directions we don't feel comfortable with. Always trying to be like Jesus. And do you know that there are some people, two or three in here tonight, the reason why your life is so boring and mundane and uneventful is you too busy trying to please people instead of obeying God. Because it is impossible to follow Jesus and ever get bored. Because sooner or later a leper's going to get healed. Sooner or later, somebody dead is going to be raised from the dead. Sooner or later, some blind eyes are going to be opened. Sooner or later, some lame limbs are going to leap up and dance. You can't hang out with Jesus and ever be bored. Sooner or later, you're going to run into a miracle. Too many of us are too addicted to our click clubs and groups. You don't even understand that the reason why they want you to stay in the boat is because misery loves company. Can I go deeper? Because, see, I need you to understand something, that the people who are going to talk about you when you want to do something great are not always people out there. Because the text says he was in a boat with some other disciples. And sometimes the people who are going to give you the biggest trouble are other disciples. Can I preach it like I feel it? But you got to be willing to get out of the boat. Has it ever occurred to you that the reason why, thank you, Holy Ghost, that God wants you to get out is if you get out, somebody else might? If you would try it, they would try it. If you would do it, they would do it. Come on, if you would tithe, they would tithe. If you would forgive, they would forgive. If you would serve, they would serve. If you would do it, they would do it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Maybe God chose you to be the first one. You would go to school, they would go to school. If you would keep trying, they would keep trying. So if you want to get out of the boat, you got to be willing to liberate yourself from the expectations of other people. Why do you want to let other people set the standard and pace for your life? Trying to get out of the boat to see Jesus, and you're going to let some other people keep you from where God wants you to be. Keep you from seeing Jesus. That's why I like Zacchaeus. Y'all know Zacchaeus. You remember? Short man, tax collector, heard Jesus was coming by. He said, I ain't going to miss this. Watch this. And the text says that he went to see Jesus, but he couldn't see him because of the crowd. But the Bible says he does two things that gives him an audience with Jesus. The first thing the Bible says is he went ahead of the crowd, which means that he did not let the crowd set the pace for his life. They were moving, but they were moving too slow. And so he went ahead of the crowd, and that's what you got to do. You can't let other people set the pace for your life. How bad do you want to see him? And the text not only says he ran ahead, watch, but the book says he climbed a tree, which means that he not only went ahead, but he rose above. He rose above. And you can't let the world set the standard for your life as well. Preach, Pastor. I can't get no help in here. But you've got to learn how to rise above the crowd. If you want to get out of the boat, church, you got to be liberated from the expectations of your peers. And then if you want to get out of the boat, watch this. You may not shout off of this one. If you want to get out of the boat, you've got to be prepared to step away from man-made support. Because, see, the true test of discipleship is the willingness to step away at any given time from man-made support. Y'all still don't get it. I want you to notice that the boat they were in that was keeping them afloat was a boat made by men's hands. And in order for Peter to walk on the water, he had to step out of the security provided by the hands of men. Oh, that's good all by itself. Now, there's nothing wrong with support from the hands of men, because most people get some of their sense of security from what men have created, 401ks, retirement plans, a whole host of other things, a good job to go to. That ain't nothing but a boat. Ain't nothing wrong with a boat. That's the conventional, usual way of staying afloat. But sometimes we stay in the boat so long that we start thinking that the boat is our source of security. Y'all not getting this. And every now and then, God will mess with you. And he'll call you out of it so that you can be reminded that the boat is not your source. It's a resource. God is your source. And if you would trust him, come on, you'll be able to do what other people can only do with human help. You're not getting it. Because, see, there are 13 people in the text. 11 of them are staying afloat by the boat. 2 of them are staying afloat, but they ain't in the boat. Everybody's afloat. One is doing it because of what men have provided, but another way is the way God has provided. Watch. And the way it is happening in such a way that you have to say it couldn't have been nobody but the Lord. And you know, sometimes God will call you out just so you can be testimony material. He'll call you out just so you can testify. It wasn't nobody but the Lord. Somebody say, get out of the boat. Now, I think it's worth raising this real relevant question right here. This is a good question right here. I'm almost finished, but I got to raise this question. The question is, when do you know when to stay or step? I think that's a relevant question. I thought I was finished in preparation for the sermon, but I realized that there's another question, and that is, how do I notice when to stay in the boat and when to step out of the boat? Because, you know, there is a difference between faith and foolishness. I'm almost finished. Can I tell you how, what you ought to do to know whether to stay or step? It's in the text. I'm going to make it up. Here it is. Pay attention. Wake up and write this down. If you want to know when to stay or when to step, here it is. Lord, if it's you. There it is. That's it. See, y'all thought I was going to do something deep. That is deep. Did you catch what I just said? If you really want to know whether I should stay or whether I should step, whether I should stay here or take this great big risk, before you move, you better say, Lord, is it you? Okay, y'all not getting it. Okay, there might be somebody in here. You found your special someone. You've been single for a while, and you find your soulmate, your boo. You've been looking for him for a long time. And y'all start talking about matrimony, and I hope it is your soulmate. I hope it is your boo. I hope you found that special somebody. But can I give you some good advice? Before you step out of the ship of singlehood and leap onto the waters of lifelong holy matrimony, you better say, Lord, is it you? Come on, talk to me. Whenever you're about to make a decision like that, whether it be a raise, whether it be another job, whether it's relocation, whether it's leaving the church, you better say, Lord, is it you?
My God, my God.
I done kept you too long. I done kept you too long. Can I finish it up, though? Can I finish it? Can I have 8 and a half more minutes? Can I just... So the Bible says that Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to thee. Watch. And the text says, Jesus says, come. Now, the one thing about Scripture is we know what it said, but we don't know how it said. We don't know how he said what he said. I don't think that when Jesus said come, it was like a Cecil B. DeMille movie. I don't think the wind was howling and blowing and Jesus stood on the sea and said, come. I don't think it happened like that. I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but I don't think it happened like that. When Jesus said come, and I think there was a particular attitude that accompanied his word. Can I tell you what I think his attitude was? When Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to Jesus on the water, I think his attitude was this. Oh, I've been waiting for somebody to ask to get out. I'm so tired of disciples staying in the boat. I've been waiting for somebody to take a risk. All this teaching and all these miracles, and they still want to stay stuck in the boat. I'm so glad that finally someone had the nerve, had the faith, would take the risk, would trust me enough to try something so crazy that if I don't get involved, it can't be successful. And what did he stand on? Can I tell you what he stood on? Because y'all think he stood on the water. He didn't stand on the water. He stood on the word. And can I show you how powerful the word is? All he needed was one. All he said was, come. Is there anybody in here who knows that there is power in the word? Come on, is there anybody in here standing on the word of God? Preach, Pastor Williams. I can't get no help in here. Now watch. The text says, that he said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come to thee on the water. And the Bible says Jesus said, come. And the book says that Peter stepped out on the water. And Peter started walking on the water. The only one who's ever been able to say that I walked just like Jesus did. Bible says he's walking on the water, and all of a sudden the wind, he noticed that there was a storm around him. Now he's walking on the water in the middle of a storm. I don't know how you feel about it, but that makes me shout right there, because that lets me know that God doesn't have to change your circumstances to give you the power to handle your circumstances. But right in the midst of a storm, God can give you peace. Is there anybody in here who knows that God can give you peace in the midst of the storm? Peace that surpasses all understanding. Bruce Williams translation, peace that just don't make no sense. Have you ever been in a situation when it was swirling all around you and you knew you should be afraid? You know you should be crying. You know you should have insomnia. You know you should be wringing your hands. But in the midst of it all, you've got a strange kind of peace. You can't manufacture that. You can't sip that. You can't snort that. Can I get a witness in here? You can only get that from the one who is the Prince of Peace. Well, my Bible says that he's walking on the water. He's got his eyes on Jesus. He stays above his circumstances as long as his eyes are fixed and focused on Jesus. But then the text suggests that he gets distracted by what's going on in his ears. The wind is howling in his ears. The waves are dashing at his ankles. He's ignoring them, but they keep on howling in his ears, because as soon as you get out of the boat and start walking, it's always going to be somebody telling you, you better get back in that boat. You lost your mind. You're going to sink after a while. But you got to learn how to ignore all gate mouth prognosticators and just keep on walking. Well, the Bible says that after a while, he let the situation get the best of him. And don't be so hard on him, because the truth is there's a whole lot of us who let the circumstances get the best of us. The Bible says that when he took his eyes off Jesus, he started sinking. And every now and then, on the high seas of life, when you take your eyes off Jesus, you're going to sink. There might be somebody in here who's wondering if sometime in the future you ever going to sink. Let me put your mind at ease. Yes, you will. You are going to sink. But can I tell you what to do when you start going down? Don't be like some saints who act like ain't nothing wrong, who pretend like they got it all together. They going down for the count. The water's about to go over their mouth and over their nose. And you ask them, how you doing? And they say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. The Lord is good. And they about to go down for the count. Can I tell you what you ought to do when you start going down? You ought to look up and say, Lord, save me. I dare you tonight, just look up and say, Lord, save me. Can I tell you what the Lord will do if you just be humble enough to look up and say, Lord, save me? The Bible says immediately Jesus reached down and he pulled him up. Y'all missed a good place to shout. I didn't say that Peter reached up and pulled himself up. I said Jesus reached down and pulled himself up. And the only reason you on your feet now is not because you pulled yourself up. But if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? Well, I would stop here, because this is where most pastors and most preachers stop and have their celebration. Because the Bible says that he picked Peter up and now he was back up, and that's where they shout. But they miss shoutable material, because the Bible says that they went back to the ship. Y'all missed it. See, he couldn't have been close to the ship, because if he was close to the ship, as soon as he started going down, he'd have reached for the ship. But he was too far out to reach for the ship. But wait a minute, Jesus didn't just pick him up, but the Bible says they walked on the water back to the ship. Somebody still didn't get it. He walked, he sank, was rescued, and he walked again. Y'all still don't get it. He walked, he failed, he cried out, and God gave him another chance. Is there anybody in here who knows a God who can give you another chance? Notice, if you will, that I said he'll give you another chance. I didn't say he'll give you a second chance, because you way past your second chance. He's helped you so often that the only thing you can say is the Lord gave me. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He gave me another chance. Then the Bible says that they got back to the ship. And the book says, and the storm ceased. I like that. Once they got back in the boat, the storm ceased. Whatever else that means to me, it means that the storm ceased because it was just a test. The Lord didn't send them out in the storm to drown them. He sent them out there to teach them what is possible when you keep your eyes on Jesus. See, the reason why, I'm finished, but the reason why God lets you get in storms is because there are things about God that you can't learn unless you're in a storm. Come on, the old folks said, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve it. I wouldn't know what faith in God can do. So listen, my brothers and sisters, the next time you're looking for something to shout about, next time you're looking for something to praise God about, don't just think about the good stuff. Think about some of the hell he brought you through. Because you are what you are in part because of some of the stuff that you've been through. And there's some stuff you've learned about God that you never would have known if you had never been in a storm. Listen, if you don't remember anything else I said to you tonight, please remember this. Get out of the boat.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dr. F. Bruce Williams, get out of the boat. I like all that kind of carrying on. Get out of the boat. Good morning, Apostle. God bless you this morning. Many times we scared to get out of the boat. We done checked it out and we see the Lord is in it, but we get scared to get out of the boat. We scared to go to Jesus. We'd rather go to everybody else. We'll go to the palm readers. We'll go to the folks that say they're prophets and prophetess. And we'll even go to the gambling house to get money before we buckle down and go to Jesus. This morning, he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And if we'll go to him, there's no problem he can't solve. And many times while we thinking about it, and as they say, we're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. But we got to learn to keep the faith and to trust him. That's a big key with God, and patience. Patience is a huge thing because he don't always move quick, but he's always moving in perfect time. Whenever he does it, it's the right time, every time. I remember one of them sisters, Mary and Martha, saying, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus came at the right time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wanted to show man something. With man, it's impossible to raise the dead. With God, all things are possible. He can raise the dead. Yeah.
He did it so that God would be glorified. And if he do it for us, fast or slow, it's so that he can be glorified. It's so that we would tell him thank you. We would lift him up above all. But we sit back complaining. Lord, I want it. I just want it. Sometimes God is keeping it from you because it won't work for your good. I just want it. Sometimes God done spoke to us and said, don't marry that person. Don't go nowhere with them. Stop hanging out with them. But Lord, they good people. They just treat me nice. They always giving me something because, you know, we big on receiving. When he said it's better to give than to receive. We like to hook up. Now, for me, Valentine's is a time when couples, what they call it, celebrate their love. And it's a time when they buy each other gifts and they go out and they do this and they do that together, Valentine's Day. He trying to show her she's his Valentine. He trying to show her she's his Valentine. But sometime a son or daughter may purchase something for their mother on Valentine's Day. And I go to the door yesterday, and there was these balloons and beautiful flowers and a bunch of Crayola crayons for me to take up to the prison. I got more than I need, y'all. A bunch of coloring books, more than I need. If I buy anything else, it'll be those playing cards that they like and the Uno cards. But the coloring books and crayons, I mean, it's full. Children are going to have a great time. And it'll be quite a few children come to the prison either to see, you know, a dad or uncle, somebody like that. But I get this beautiful balloons, these beautiful balloons and flowers, and I get the crayons and stuff out the bag, and I'm putting them in the box. Well, I'm looking on through the box and I see through the bag and I see this long red envelope. And I open the envelope. Beautiful card. Beautiful words of encouragement. And then when I looked to the right, there was a $50 bill. I was like, look here. Is this what Valentine brings? No, I'm joking. But it just makes you think. Somebody loves you. Somebody care about you. Yeah. And the encouragement in the card said that they thanked me for drawing them closer, back closer to God. And that really blessed my heart. That really blessed me. Because that's my intentions. Never to draw you to me. Always to draw you closer to Almighty God. If you draw closer to him, you're going to be blessed. So I was thankful for the gift. I was thankful for the money. Yeah. And I'm going to put the flowers out today and make sure they get some sun. I set it on the dining room table because it was so much and the bags was heavy. I couldn't bring everything, you know, and put it in the donation box for the prison. But I just thank God. I just thank him. And I wanted to say this. I talked to Willie Brown. You know, he's the Christian, I hope I pronounce it right, ventriloquist. And he got a job as a chaplain up at a prison in Georgia because he lived up in the Atlanta area. And when he told me that, I got so excited for him because I know him and I know he will minister. He will witness up there. You know, and of course, you know, I gave him some sound advice. Don't trust nobody. You can't trust nothing with people that's locked up. But I tell you, God is faithful to us, and he is good to us. And this is what we need to be to him. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Faithful, we can never be faithful enough. This week, we're going to have one day that we talk about black history and the black history of the United States of America. I looked at the some of it. I got to finish it today. Some of this Black Wall Street thing from 1921. And to be honest with you, I never knew there was such a thing called a Black Wall Street until recently. Maybe a few years back, I think I found out about it. there's some other stuff. I didn't know about this stuff until just a few years back. And it's not that I'm holding anger, hatred, nothing like that against nobody. Because of this, if God allowed it, then anything you need concerning that, you take it to the Lord in prayer. But we don't hate nobody, especially, and we say we're believers and we're following Christ. We may talk about some things, we may hear some things, look at some things, but we're not doing that so that we can find fault or find hate. Because the scripture says this, vengeance is mine. Let the wheat and the chaff go together. In the day of harvest, I'll do the separate. Yeah. I tell the Lord, thank you, and keep it moving. But knowledge is good. It's good information. True information is a good thing. And it just caused me to look back. I like them old pictures of 1800s, early 1900s. My dad was born in 1912. My mom was born in 1925. And, you know, I remember them telling me stuff about their era, you know, their time. My Aunt Lorene, you know, she would tell me stuff about their time. And I like the 1950s. Ooh, I like anything in them 50s. I like the wardrobe they wore, the skirts, you know, the long skirts with the can-can slips, we used to call it. It made the skirts stick out real big all the way around. I like that, the hairstyles back then, the cars back then. They wore the bobby socks and the Oxford shoes. Yeah, those were the days for me. I look back there. When Happy Days used to come on, you would never catch me missing an episode of Happy Days with the Fonz, Richard Cunningham. I like the 50s. But it's just good to look back. You know, and see what people was doing back then. You know, they talk about different inventions that black people made, and the ironing board even. I think a black woman, they say, invented that ironing board. Peanut butter. You know, different things. So I like looking back there to see, and then they have a way that they call it fact-checking now to see if it's actual fact. Because they feel like people say a lot of things that's not true. We were all kings and queens. And one day somebody told me, said, well, if all everybody was kings and queens, where was the servant? I just kind of looked at him. I said, wait a minute now, you're giving me something to think about. Not that I believe we all were kings and queens, you know, but I'm sure there were certain ones that were kings over tribes. But, and then we're just a different kind of people, you know, African-American people, black people, whatever you want to call yourself. We are different. Our hair textures, our hair, the styles we like, what we do with our hair, many times the clothes we wear back in the early 70s, I remember them bringing out a thing called a dashiki. And it was a shirt. And some women had the dashiki dresses, African print. And they wore the huge afros with the big bangle earrings. I went and cut all my hair off and had me some big bangle earrings in my ear and got in big trouble. And then back then they had what they called the blowout kicks. You would blow your hair out and it would make your afro a lot puffier and easy to manage. They had what they called silk and wool, like men wore silk and wool. And the t-shirts were silk. And James Brown had come out with a style, and what he wore, everybody was wearing it, the men. And I said, well, I wonder where James, because he traveled somewhere everywhere. I wonder where he got the idea. He certain kind of pointed toed shoes he would wear. And my youngest brother would dress like that every day, every day. He bought the, because he worked all basically all his life, ever since he was a little boy. He bought the jean outfits in different colors, and he would buy the matching, we called them desert boots. And he would have the silk socks on that matched the silk t-shirt. The t-shirt, if he had a blue jean outfit on, he had a blue silk t-shirt with the blue silk socks and some black desert boots. And other colors he wore, if he wore the cream colored jean outfit, he would wear the tan colored desert boots. Yeah. That went way back then. Yes, he was. He was crazy. Now he was crazy, Brother Louis. He was crazy, but he entertained. He could, James Brown, y'all. He could really entertain. But it was just so much. I looked at a movie that they made by, was it Madam Walker, the lady who was Bennett, the straightening comb, I think it was, that did the black hair. What? Hard Rock in Tampa, Steakhouse. Oh, he did it big over there. Dog, ain't nobody called me and invited me. No, well, I got my little balloons and things, so I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to cry over nothing. Madam C.J. Walker, thank you so much, see? But I found out about her not too many years ago because the school we attend, we didn't learn black history. We learned George Washington, he chopped down the cherry tree, he never told a lie. Abe Lincoln freed the slaves. Alice and Jerry and Jip, you know, we didn't learn. In Jerry Crowd, don't you laugh when I say Alice, Jerry, Jip, C. Jip, Ron, cut it out. But we didn't learn about black history. Later on, when Martin Luther King, I think that was in the late 60s, he started, you know, protesting and all this stuff. We learned about him. Oh, go on and show me the picture, girl. Let me see what it looks like. We learned about him. But we didn't have a lot of black history stuff. You know, your parents told you stuff about people that was famous in their era, in their community. That was a lady in my dad's community in a place called Doran, Georgia. He was from Albany, but they moved to Doran. And her name was Miss Matt. And Miss Matt was a Christian lady. And when my grandmother died, you know, Miss Matt did a lot for my dad, you know, because she knew that was her, my grandmother's baby. And he always, whenever I went to Georgia for family reunion, he would always take me to see Miss Matt. And he would tell her stuff like this. This is her. Because my grandmother prophesied before she died. And it was me she prophesied about. And they knew it, but I didn't because I was his first daughter. And he would always take me to see Miss Matt. So Miss Matt was a pillar in the community, as they call it. She did a lot for the little small town there, what they call Red Light in Doran, Georgia. So, you know, we knew about people like that and other places that, you know, other people talked about. What this man named Du Bois, Du Bois. Now, I'm going to be honest. I didn't know about him. And if I tell y'all what I learned from him about, if you laugh or call me ignorant, it don't matter. Do y'all remember a movie called Lackawanna Blues? Now, that's where I heard about that man. E.B. Du Bois, I think I might be pronouncing it wrong. But I still need to look it up and see what he did. And Tougaloo, I think it was called Tougaloo or Tougaloo College. And it could have been Tupelo because that 1921 Tulsa burning was in Tulsa. So it may have been, you know, somewhere in that area. I don't know. But, and I never did really look it up. But, you know, you hear a lot of things. And a lot of times you busy trying to live your life and you trying to stay safe and this and that. And you don't go back and look. But I tell you, it's the best thing we can do is to go back and look at that African-American history. Yeah. The history of black people. You're gonna hear some excellent stuff, some good stuff. You're going to hear a lot of bad stuff. A lot of bad things happen. But nonetheless, God brought us. Praying folks prayed us through. And praying folks are still praying us through in 2022. Yeah. Because that devil refused to let stuff go. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. It's Jesus that come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we thank God this morning. I wanted to share that so that we all could still, you know, get along and not come against each other. Well, the white people, we don't want to hear about that. We know what happened. That's why we going back to check out the history, the fact check of history for black people. Hallelujah. So let's go to this one, and when we come back, the studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in.
Hello? Am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm the music major.
Production. I can't hear y'all clapping.
Hallelujah. I had to go on and get that in the middle played this morning before I left the air. Hallelujah. I saw that, Brother Louis. God is faithful. God is faithful. All right, Sister Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Barbara. How are you?
Oh, I'm good over here. I'm good.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I just want to thank you for the message today. You know, you sent that message directly to me, getting out of the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, I always look to Bob. Oh, Bob was the creator. Bob. But Bob, God had to take me out my comfort zone so I could grow up. I was with Bob since I was 24 years old. Now I'm 66. Good old Bob. But, you know, I learned something from Bob. He was more of a Christian than I talk Christian talk. But he walked the Christian walk. We can say one thing out of our mouth, like you said this morning, but our actions speak louder than any words you could ever, ever speak, Barbara.
Amen.
Sister Barbara, and like you told me, Jerry, you're not going on that flight today. I was like, how she know I got my plane ticket in my hand? She must be crazy. But even though I had the plane ticket, you had to believe that I would do the right thing. By faith, be it done unto me. I've got to start doing the right thing. I don't have pity parties no more. I just sit in my room and think now. Because it's time to consult God before I make a decision. If God said, Jerry, you got this, I already got it. Why am I worried about it? He's already gave it to me once. He's not going to let no one or nothing take it from me. By faith, be it done unto me. All of us, Jesus is love. Blood is red. He gave up his blood for such a wretch like me. I thank God for that today. I thank God for being on my side. I thank God for sending you back in my life. Barbara, you've been in my life since I was in the third grade. You have been my friend since third grade. Look, Alice, see, Jip, run. Look at Jerry. Look at Jerry. She going to the office every day, and I'm going to take her up there. Great, Barbara. Who stays someone's friend all of their life?
Mm-hmm.
I have been knowing you for 63 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time, Barbara.
It is.
We have been through some rough, rough times.
Yes.
I lost you along the way, but then God sent you back in my life. He sent you just when I needed you the most. At the moment Mr. Crowd was dying, you pop back in and you say, Jerry, I'm here for you. I'm here for you, Jerry. You were there for me, Barbara.
Yeah.
You wasn't like an angel of light coming to show me that you were there to pretend for me. You were really there for me. A lot of people came to me and said, I'm for you, Jerry. Huh, they were for me, all right. They helped themselves to me. But like I say, people don't steal from me. They steal from God. I own nothing, not even this life. Thank you, Barbara, for being my friend all of my life.
Yeah.
We grew up in the same neighborhood together.
Uh-huh.
The same school together. Ripped and ran on the playground. We would wrestle around in the dirt.
Yes.
We did so much. And we had our little saddle oxes on. Our parents bought us shoes we couldn't tear up.
Couldn't tear them up.
Wanted more shoes, but you had to tear them up first. You couldn't tear them up. I have my black and white saddle oxford on, and I have brown and beige ones. You go, girl. You can wear your brother's shoes because boys and girls wear the same shoes. Times was hard in those days.
Yes.
But I thank God that even when times are hard, my parents said, or my mom said, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. But there's no other hope I know. She didn't go, oh, God, my light bill is due, and I ain't got no food in the refrigerator. She would go put her hand on the refrigerator and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For you are the hope of the world. And before so long, the doorbell was ringing. People was bringing a box of clothes and shoes and food. But, of course, me and my brother was in the room playing. Mama at the refrigerator again, stretching her hands to me. Who is D. Michael? Who is D. Michael? Where is D. at? You know, she's buckling down. Look at her. She's bowing down to the refrigerator. I thought she said, we don't bow before nobody but God. She didn't pay us no mind. She went in there, started taking the pots out, putting them on the stove. I said, what's she putting on the stove? Ain't nothing in the refrigerator. I said, it don't matter because I don't eat nothing but cheese anyway. As long as I got my cheese, I'm good. By the end of the day, we had sausage and biscuits and dessert. Oh, we had so much that day to eat. We ate every part of the chicken, the feet, the neck, every part of the chicken we ate. And we waste not one thing. Like people today, they throw away food in the garbage can. You go alongside the street, you see more food in the garbage can than a little bit. But we're poor now. We're poor. But in my house, we didn't throw nothing away. We ate everything. If you didn't eat it off your plate, Mom said, don't worry about it. When you get hungry, you'll eat because you're too highly fed.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michael, if we so highly fed, why we eating them pig feet? I'll eat that. She said, you ain't got to eat it. So she would take the pig feet out the beans and put the beans over the rice and say, that's all we have.
Mm-hmm.
She would make the black-eyed peas and put it over the grits and say, that's all we have. She would cook the grits and the chicken together. That's all we have. Yes, that's
but
all we have.
You know, Jerry, I really appreciate them days when I look back.
I do, Barbara.
Mm-hmm. I thank God for them days because that's what we did. We threw nothing away. Yeah, we threw nothing away. And for me, times were better. I wasn't spoiled to the point of where, I just made myself.
I took things for granted.
Yeah. But I thank God for the cornbread fried on top of the stove. I thank God for the stewed chicken feet, the boiled chicken feet, the fried chicken feet. I thank God for it. Yeah. I thank God
for all.
Yeah.
I thank God for the fat bite. And she dried out and made that fat one.
Because there were many days for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's what we had. We had that fat back boiled and dried out in the oven, allegor syrup, and homemade biscuits.
Oh.
And the biscuits didn't always have buttermilk.
I love that
allegor
syrup.
Yeah. The biscuits didn't always have buttermilk, and we didn't always have butter with the biscuits. But we weren't hungry.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. You see, but they did the best that they could. Oh, now, Louis done
she
jumped up.
She knew how to make that fat bite good.
Look at Louis talking about
that.
Now I'm hungry.
Bite.
Oh, I love that fat bite. With
that fat bite today. I don't know how to cook it, but I eat that fat bite. I buy the pork rind today.
No, you shouldn't have it today. I'm not going to buy it because Star Meat got it, but I won't bring it. I'll bring the chopped up ham.
I need that fat bite, Barbara. I need that fat bite. I can't find fat bite.
I can, so stop it.
I
say,
need,
cut it out.
I need that fat bite. But no, I thank God, because even with the government cheese, she would melt it and make a dip with the potato chips.
Yeah. And know what?
The cheese on the chips.
Yeah, my mom would make the cheese toast, grilled cheese sandwiches. She could make some grilled cheese sandwiches and give us some applesauce. Yeah, for lunch. And she would take that government flour and the powdered milk and make a roll. They looked like four-leaf clovers, but they was yeast rolls. Oh, my goodness.
She would make us some yeast rolls out of that powdered milk.
Mm-hmm.
She knew how to make ends meet. And
yes.
I sit here today and I thought, you know what? I'm not poor. I'm wasteful.
Yeah. Well, I try not I try not to waste nothing. Before I wasted,
I was wasteful. Now I'm very cautious.
Yeah.
Kevin and I, we eat something until it's all gone. And he's easy about it because, you know, he eats healthy. He eats the beans and the peas and the cabbage. So,
yeah.
You know, all I got to do is really feed Kevin. My doctor told me I can't have no more Vienna sausage. It's running my pressure up. I can't have no more
caviar. No more caviar.
I just thought I said, Doctor, what do you mean? He says, what kind of cans do you? I said, oh, I love Vienna sausage. And he said, oh, that's the worst thing you could eat.
And it is.
I'm like, oh, well, you know, if it's bad, I'm going to eat it.
I know. It may have 3,000 grams of sodium in it.
And you know what? It had my blood pressure at stroke level. So I got Vienna sausages in there in the can. Now I can't eat them. It sends my pressure up to the fainting. I didn't know why I fainted the other day. My pressure was so high. My God. It's like everything I'm eating, God is trying to change my ways.
And he is, Vera, because we need to change at this age. Fruits and vegetables, we need more of that than meat or anything. Because there are other things that give us protein that's different from meat. But we're so accustomed, so used to eating the meat. But fresh food.
Well, I bought some Hot Pockets with vegetables.
Oh. Be careful.
I tried yesterday to eat one, but it was like it almost killed me.
Yeah, Jerry,
I got to finish eating it because I can't throw
no
food.
No, wait a minute. Hey, did you look at the package? It's full of sodium, too. It's full of a lot of salt. And
no,
salt
I got the gluten-free ones.
Yeah, that's gluten, but I'm talking about the sodium.
Oh, well, good. I ain't got to eat that no more. Oh,
oh my goodness. I done let her off the hook. Okay, yeah, but that's sodium. We want to watch that, gluten. Too much bread, and I know you love bread. Yeah, but too much bread
I eat a loaf in 2 days, one loaf of bread. See, this is why I'm so heavy. He said, you know what? You don't really eat. He said, it is what you are eating. And I have an African doctor. He said, it is what you are eating that is causing your weight. How much bread do you eat? Oh, about a loaf in 2 days. A loaf of bread in 2 days.
2 days, yeah, that's too much. I eat pumpernickel bread. By Pepperidge Farms, but I'm not going to have it all day, every week, every day. I'm not going to eat that bread like that.
Well, see, make sandwiches every day. I'm trying to do better.
Because you don't want no vegetables, but you got to get them vegetables in you, and you'll be all right. Brother Louis wrote and said monosodium glutamate. He said that's what's in MSG is in Vienna sausage, and that make you sick, and it does. And I love them, too.
It made me faint the other day, Barbara, and I almost got up last night and ate some. I said, no. God said, I want you to get those out the house.
Yeah, give them some.
That must be the devil talking. That ain't God.
That was the Lord talking to you. Because I know you use them as caviar on your crackers, but no, you got to get rid of the caviar, sister. No, that's not good.
I know, Barbara. You got to come get the caviar. Take the caviar from me.
Okay, I'll come and get it and take it to the dumpster because no need to get it to somebody else. That's real bad for you, high in sodium and all of that. Because I used to rinse mine off real, real good and dry them.
I do rinse them off. I rinse
and
them off.
Put some mustard
on them.
Yeah, but it's still not good. You can't get over that because it's in it. It's in the actual making of it. It's made from that, basically, you could say. Yeah. So But we just want more fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables. I'm making cucumber and pineapple. It's a great thing for the body, inflammation, all of that. So that, you know, I'm doing some healthy stuff. Turmeric, I can't pronounce turmeric, whatever it is. I got that in the root form, and I'm getting it in the root form. Ginger, where I would use shortening or vegetable oil, I drizzle a little olive oil now. Yeah, I got off some things because not only is it put the weight on me, but it's just bad for the body. The body's not used to that. And they told me about grains and this and that, but I'd be careful with that. I don't forgot the name of it now. They used to eat a lot of it. It starts with a Q. And it's like grit.
Okay.
But I don't even fool with that. So we got to be careful. Like I said, I see the weight coming off. I see the difference in my neck and everything. But I'm doing it slowly. I'm not doing it too fast because I want to keep eating like this and get the weight off. And after it drops, keep it off. I don't want to go back after this. Well, I've been dieted. No, I'm not dieted. I just changed my diet. The things that I eat, the white bread, too much bread in the run of a week. Too much fruit juice is not good for you either. And overripe fruit, be careful eating overripe fruit because that's sugary. But you get that fruit just right, and, you know, you have some fruit, so many servings a day, you'll be good. Yeah, and vegetables, Jerry, you got to try the greens, cucumbers, greens, cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. Oh, you got to eat it. You got to get some orange in there, carrots, pumpkin. Yeah, you got to eat some yellow. You got to have some squash, some yellow bell pepper. You got to do some things. Now, I don't recommend tomatoes for nobody, especially if you have arthritis. I don't recommend, eggplant. If you have arthritis, certain things you can't have because it'll aggravate that. And I love an eggplant. And the way I loved it, I would batter it up like I would fish and fry it. And it come out golden brown. And I just would eat a whole huge eggplant. And then I noticed the back hurt, the knee hurt. I'm like, but I hadn't noticed it for that. But then later on, as I'm researching, I found out eggplant, it triggers arthritis. So we got to get the inflammation out of our bodies. And if we eat the right grains, if we eat the right vegetables and fruit, you can eat all day long and never gain a pound. And it'll heal your body of the inflammation that's in your body. Notice this girl, she did a commercial, she did a live, and she said she had went to another country. I don't forgot where she went now, but she went to another country. She ate all of the same foods there that she ate here. Oh, I love them all. Fried green tomato, fried okra, fried eggplant, fried squash. The list is endless, Brother Louis. I just can't eat it no more, so I have to roast stuff now. But she went to another country, and she ate McDonald's. She ate the same thing she ate here, fried chicken. She lost weight instead of gained. And she said where she wouldn't go to McDonald's but one time in the run of a day, she said there she would go to McDonald's twice because she didn't know how to cook the food. So she might go to McDonald's twice in a day. She may go to another place and get fried stuff. She said that when she got home, she had lost weight. Because it's what they put in the food here, sodium and what this thing is to make it last, preservatives and additives to make it last longer. Process. Chef right. And we're not going out. Because I look back at my parents. We ate all of that macaroni and cheese and all kind of stuff. We didn't eat it every day, you know, or every week like that. But we ate good. And fatty stuff, like the fat back with the skin on it, dried out in the oven. But we weren't fat people. We weren't gaining no weight. You know, neither one of my parents weighed no 200 or 300 pounds. But what they was eating was fresh. It hadn't sat on the shelf in a can and all of that. Yeah. Now, the thing I noticed that it used to eat beef tripe. I don't know if anybody know what that is.
But yeah, that white stuff.
They would eat the beef tripe, but they would cut it up, batter it up, and fry it up, and we would love it. We ate chitlins not very often now. Pig feet and all that. We didn't eat pig feet, pig ears, pig tails. My mom didn't cook that. But they used to eat the beef tripe every now and then, once a year, or once every 2 years, so she might would make a pot of chitlins, you know, for my dad. And he would let us have some because she didn't eat them either. And my kids, they hate them. I'm like, are you kidding me? This good eating. Pig ears, a pork pot. But I can't have that like that anymore. I'm just talking about stuff. But desserts. Look, get the sugar out your diet, please, if you can. I'm working on that more and more because every now and then, but what I did is I went and bought some Luigi's little freeze pop things. And if I crave sugar, that's what I eat. Yes, it is, Brother Louis. That's what tripe is. So I get me one of those, and that satisfies me. And I don't get another one, you know, until maybe Saturday, from Monday to Saturday. And that helped me because, see, stuff I was eating every day. If I felt like a pork chop, I'll go cook one, which I don't care for them, but I'll go make me a fried pork chop. And if I wanted macaroni and cheese with that, I'd make homemade macaroni and cheese from scratch that should bake in the oven. See, that was too much, and my body, it was a strain in me and on my body because I'm gaining weight. Yeah. If I felt like in the middle of the week I wanted fried chicken, and then again I wanted fried chicken again on Saturday, I'm in there frying chicken. That's too much. I roast chicken now. I took the fried out and I roast everything, vegetables, some fruits I even roast because they taste so good. But I have to be careful with the roasting because it pulls the natural sugar more. The fruit is real sweet. Pears and oranges, and right now we can eat tangerines and all of these things. I think cherries is coming out. Next month, strawberries will be out in Florida. And so I can get all of these things fresh from the farmer's market. Grapefruit. I eat a half a grapefruit. Soft apples and all of it. I love a soft apple. And I eat all of that. I eat a melon called golden melon. Yeah. So, you know, I want to share that this morning since Gary brought it up too. We want to change that diet. Not dieting, but change the way we eat. You don't have to do it all at one time. But if you have fried today, don't have fried tonight. You know, if you have fried for breakfast, don't have fried for lunch and fried for dinner. Give it a couple of days and, you know, if you want to try something else, try something else. But learn to roast your stuff, bake your stuff. I have a crock pot. I use my crock pot. I'm making a chicken soup today that I can eat in a bread bowl. But that'll probably might be Sunday. I can eat the soup all week long, but the bread I can't. And I go to the oral surgeon on Wednesday. And when I leave there, he has completed the operation. All I will be able to eat is soup. Yeah. If that. I may not be able to eat them until Friday. I go Wednesday, I may not be able to eat then. So, you know, I just have to take it easy. And that'll help me, too, not eating. Yeah, that'll give me time to fast. But we thank God this morning for his word. Thank God for a good diet. Because even when I look at those people back there, they ate a lot of chicken, looked like. But like they bird. Yeah, you know, now they could have eaten beef and all of that. I'm not saying. But fish and chicken, I saw a lot of that. Turkey, I saw a lot of that. But I didn't see all this stuff we eat today. Mayonnaise and all of this fat and anything with cream in it, ranch dressing. Anything creamy is fattening. Butter, all of that is fattening. And I have butter every blue moon. I have me some butter. You know, I put butter in something, but I'm not doing it every day. I even made a pan of chicken dressing, but it's low fat. And I did that in Alaska for Shantae one time, and she lost 20 pounds. And they had a bet going on the job. And when she walked in there, and they saw They was like, what did you do? She said, my mom cooked for me. Now, I cooked for her to lose weight, but I wouldn't cook for myself to lose. And I would have fried chicken and all kind of stuff. And when she would go home at night, I would get up and go in there and heat my fried chicken up and eat it, because I wouldn't do it in front of her. She was trying to lose that weight. Yeah. And plus, when you're younger, it do quickly. Yeah, unsalted butter. Yes, yes, Brother Louis. So we're trying to stay off the sugar and the salt, the fried stuff. If you take all that bread, fried sugar, all of that out of your diet, you're going to see a huge difference in your body, even in the texture of the skin and the way your skin look. All the blemishes and all of that in your face, all of that's going to go. Yeah. I noticed I drank something fruity, and I noticed my face. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have put that in my body. But water is the best thing you could ever drink. Water. It cleans impurities out. It washes your intestines. Yeah, water is good for us. So these are the things we want to look at. And I can order out. I can go to IHOP and get fresh fruits. And I'll even eat a potato pancake from over there. But I'm not about to get all that bacon and I ain't going to be able to do it. But anyway, we thank God. And then you can. You can have bacon. You can have sausage. Just don't have it every day, every morning for breakfast. Yeah. I'm waiting for some grits to show up somewhere. I need to go find some because I have none. Because I eat a bowl of grits, and instead of the butter, I might sprinkle a little cheese on that, and I give it a little more flavor. And put chicken broth in it when I'm cooking it, homemade, without the salt. Yeah, and I'm good to go. But all right, we have a little time, so I'm going to one more song request of the morning, and when we come back, if no one have anything they would like to say, please feel free. Oh, let me share this. Don't forget the fruit drive, please. Go over there and get you some Florida Indian River fruit. Check out Freedom Doors, Jesus in the Morning, Barbara Jean Pittman's Facebook page, and find that fundraiser down there if you can't buy fruit and donate something. Something else I was going to tell you about. I wanted to tell you about that. And I didn't write it down. I should have written it down. But anyway, we're going to this one. This is a huge request, just like in the middle. So we're playing this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, featuring Mr. Talk Box. That's the name of that one this morning. And you know, you have some friends that's just straight up like you are. And they find things and they just say what they say and they're done with it because it's what they believe in and they know it's the truth. A friend of mine, his name is Darren Turner. We call him DT. And he put this on Facebook. He says, Cinderella removed just one shoe and found love. But you remove all your clothes, yet you're still single. I saw that in Holland. I'm telling you, oh my goodness, but that is true. That is true. But if we follow the scripture, if we follow the word of God, we will be safe. We will be so safe. Yes, we will. No AIDS, many diseases and other illnesses, we won't have it. We won't have it. Yeah. Hey, 708, God bless you this morning. Good to see you. Good to see that area code. Hallelujah. So we just thank God today for his word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Forever, oh God, thy word is settled in heaven. Good morning to you, Sion. Good morning, Pastor David. God bless you over there. Good morning, Sister Jerry again, Sister Dorothy Goodman, Sister Mira Ann. Thank you so much, Sister Mira Ann. I saw you respond to that prayer request. Sister Samoa and Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Angela in California, Sister Laura, Mr. Mason, Miss Deborah. Good morning to you, Alexis, Lachelle, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Diane, Sister Angela Foote. God bless you, baby. God bless you. And Sister Annie Lee Foote. Good morning. Good morning. God, I got to call you today. I got to call you, Sister Annie Lee Foote. They don't have your number 8. So I got to call you and see if you want another one. Good morning to you on the fruit, y'all. And good morning to you, Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Mike Hopp, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, Brother Cal, Brother Justin Gilmore, and Brother Marquez Griffin this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Good morning, Sister Kim Hopps. Did a little different, didn't it? Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and Apostle Claudia Boatwright this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Seeking blessings upon you this week that the Lord would do uncommon favor for us. Yeah, favor like we've never had before. Yeah, it's not the norm. It's just all the way out the norm, and it's something that we really want favor in. Some things you may not have thought about having favor over there, but yet God gave you favor. So we tell him thank you this morning. We give him glory. We give him the honor and praise. Hallelujah. For being on our side today in spite of us. He's yet looking beyond fault and yet meeting our needs. So if no one else have anything they would like to say this morning, I will pray us out. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Father, we thank you for many of us are changing our diets. We thank you this morning that you make things so possible for man, because with man it's impossible. We thank you this morning for your healing power to heal our bodies and our minds. Lord, even our souls, we thank you this morning. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. We can never forget his suffering, God. Is hanging, bleeding, dying, conquering all, and rising with all power. Father, because without him, we wouldn't be here. Without him, we couldn't be saved. Without him, we couldn't go back with you when you come. And we thank you this morning. We thank you for your spirit, God, the Holy Spirit. We thank you this morning that leads and guides and teaches us all things. And Father, today we want to be like your son, Jesus. And we ask that you would help us, Lord. We want the spots and wrinkles out of us. We want to be your church, pure and holy, clean. For without holiness, no man can see God. Lord, we want to be right when you come, holy when you come, clean when you come, ready when you come. And we want you to see your son Jesus in us. We want you to see the same traits in him are the same traits in us. Help us today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless your people today. Father, I ask that you would outpour finances for your people. Pour it out upon them, God. Let money come from each and every place, each and every way. God, do it for them. And Lord, remind them to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For Father, we know without you, there's nothing too hard for you to do. Heal those that are sick. Move by your spirit, Lord. Those that with COVID, God, open up the breathing. Lord, we ask this today in Jesus' name. And not only that, liver problems, kidney problems, every sickness, oh God, every disease. You heal all manner of it. And we trust you this morning. As we leave today, Father, bless our going out and our coming in. And again, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for hearing. We thank you for answering. We thank you for never leaving us, not forsaking us, but being with us until the end. Oh, we thank you this morning. Ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2022, in Jesus' name. So we're going our last song of the morning and praying that the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day.
Yeah, Jesus, you're my everything, yeah. My everything is you, Lord. Yeah.
How can I express my gratitude
for all the many things
you've done for me?